This episode is brought to you by CarterComics.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your comic needs, whether it be graded or raw. Carter Comics has got it all. All you gotta do is go to CarterComics.com, fill your cart up with all their amazing comics. Use the discount code FREAKNET, F-R-E-A-K-N-E-T. Save you 10% at checkout. Not only on their website, but also at their eBay account. And the link to eBay can be found on their homepage at CarterComics.com. Again, CarterComics.com is your one-stop shop for all comic needs. What's up, everybody? I am Travesty.
And I'm Cartoon Joe.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of this freaking show. It is your weekly podcast with a little bit of something and a whole lot of nothing. And there's something I got to get out of the way before I start this. and I did it this week on JFW, and I feel like I needed to do it this week here on this freaking show. Because I went back and I was listening to the episodes that we released last week. And I don't know what it was, but the beginning of JFW, it was really, like, messed up. Like, it felt like something was off with me doing it. And I felt like it was, but I didn't think it was as bad as I thought it was. And then until I listened to it, and it just, it was honest to God dog shit. And I apologize to the JFW listeners for it because it just seemed very, very bad. Like, just the beginning of it. After a while, it kind of seemed to all kind of fall in place. And I feel like it happened here on this freaking show last week, too. And if it did, and if you guys kind of felt like it was weird and everything, I do want to apologize ahead of time, you know, doing this for so long. I feel like there's a sense of quality to be delivered from at least my end on what we do here. And I just feel like I didn't live up to the expectations our fans would expect from us. So if it seemed that way, if it seemed like poor quality, don't, I hope to God it came back to this episode, but don't, you know, base it on that episode. Cause I, like I said, I just, something was off. I just don't know what it was. And it really didn't click in my head that I was definitely right about being something off until I listened to it. So
what, is it like the audio was off?
No, just my, I guess more my demeanor.
Oh, okay.
Just me as a whole. It wasn't a sound quality thing. it wasn't anything technical. It was just like, it just seemed like I was doing it, but I was kind of doing it on autopilot. And
I recall you were sick.
Yeah, but I mean, I've done podcasts sick before. I mean, I've done it every year for the last 8 years. You know, there's always a moment. So, like, I don't know what it was, but, like, when I was listening to it, I'm just like, if it felt like I didn't give a shit, that's not how I wanted it to come off. It's just, I am personally going through some stuff right now, and I think maybe that's what kind of affected me when we recorded, and I hate that it happened. I hate that it, like, rolled over into the podcast without me really realizing it did. So for that, I do apologize for the quality of the show based on my demeanor. You know, I will do better in the future to prevent from doing that. Nothing bad's going on in my life. I don't talk about it on JFW because JFW is for professional wrestling, not for the stuff going on in real life. But we kind of turned this freaking show into stories of our life on top of everything else that's going on into the world. And I'm going through a refinancing process in my house to try to wipe out some of the debt I accumulated all my life because I was poor with fucking money. I think did I talk about this last time?
Yes.
Did I?
I think so.
Joe, let me ask you.
I can't remember if you talked about it directly or if you talked about it after the show with me.
Yeah, we can kind of recap it here in a minute, but I'm just really curious. I don't want to call you out on anything, but what's going on with your goatee?
I don't know. What's going on with it?
It's like it has a comb over. I'm assuming you napped earlier.
No, I haven't showered in a couple of days. That probably.
Ooh, solid. It's just weird because like control. it's like combed this way. The symmetry just threw me off for a minute. I made eye to mouth contact with you. I'm like, oh shit. Okay, cool. So I know I mentioned again, I don't you're right. I don't know if we talked about it on the show, if we just talked about it off air or whatever it is, but god damn it, this phone. That's nothing important right now. So over the last couple of weeks, I've been having a lot of issues with appliances and stuff in my house. My fridge went out, and my dryer is very hit and miss lately. And I need to get new appliances, or at least need to replace the appliances I have. And when I sit there and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about, like, you know, the cost of everything, because apparently everything's fucking expensive nowadays. I had to sit there and juggle the ideas, like, do I need to buy a used one and just ride that one until it dies, like I've been doing with all my appliances, because I haven't had a brand new appliance since I moved into this house. Or do I just buy a new fridge, maybe have a warranty, so for the next few years and it goes off on it, something goes bad with it, it's covered, you know, whatever it is. But I know that I can't afford a brand new fridge. I make decent money where I work to where I should, but the problem is, throughout my 20s, I wanted to go out and enjoy my life. I wanted to go out and have fun and hang out with my friends and do things with them that, you know, money wouldn't be a burden to it. It was weird because, like, especially like when I look back on it and I had this whole train of thought process and everything, like high school wise, but even in high school, I had this weird concept of, I don't want people to know how little money I have. I don't want people to know that I can't afford to do things, you know. And it has nothing to do with my parents whatsoever. I didn't have the type of parents I could run to for money to do shit. You know, there's a core value of earning, you know, your own pay, which is why when I was in high school, instead of being on the football team, I quit the football team to work at McDonald's and work the night shifts and the weekend shifts and all that stuff because I needed to be able to afford the stuff I wanted out of life. When I got out of high school and I got into, you know, reality of, you know, actually blue collar work and everything, and school didn't work out and all that shit, I made money, but I didn't make enough money to actually like go out and do shit with my friends. And fucking credit cards are the absolute devil of this world. 100% evil. And I use credit cards to go out and enjoy my life and go to movies and dinner and even go on dates and shit like that. And when you turn 21, you go to bars, you want to buy people drinks and everything. Because it's weird because I definitely lived my life in a higher class than what I really was. And I did that for many years. I had relationships where I wanted to take them places and do things. And it was never the money I made, because the money I made had to pay car payments, because instead of having the car that I could have just had, I had to get a new car, because why drive around in a 91 Pontiac Grand Prix in 2010 when you could drive around in a 2006 Grand Prix in 2010? Or, you know, why drive around in an 06 Grand Prix that your girlfriend gets sick in because she can't drive around in cars that way without getting car sick, when you can drive around in a 2005 Lincoln Navigator because it's more comfortable for her? And I made poor choices for the wrong reasons. And even into my 30s, I'm 34 now, I'll be 35 next month. That credit card debt is still a burden on me, because when you only make the minimum payments, you're never really paying down the card for X amount of years. When you get laid off from a job that you can't afford to do shit, and you end up finding a good job, a job that kind of helped me out, and I'll never say anything negative about the job I went to after I got laid off from Intertech. Trinidad, Chicago is a fantastic place. I had a great time being a service advisor there. For any of you in the Shorewood area or the Elmhurst area. There's another one like Gary, Indiana, and you guys are like Freightliner drivers or off the road, over the road. Stop there. They'll help you out. They are incredible people. And driving from Piatone to Elmhurst every single day in a V8 Hemi pickup truck gets expensive, so you pay your gas on your credit cards. And then you get a different job, and then you drive to Oakbrook and Willowbrook and shit, and you have to put gas in there. So basically, long story short, I ended up having a lot of fucking credit card debt. When I was laid off from my job and I had to go on a hardship program for my mortgage, I couldn't afford my mortgage because I wasn't making enough money. And obviously with COVID, nobody was hiring at the time. That put another burden on me because there's that money that I owe back to them, which I hate the fact that it went on. And I think they fucking took advantage of me and that shit, but it is what it is. I owed a lot of money at the back end of my mortgage. Like a lump sum had to pay at the end of the mortgage that I knew I would never be able to save up to have.
The end of your mortgage?
Yeah. So when I went to the hardship program, the bank, I still to this day, I do not understand what the fuck happened with it. They explained it to me the way they felt it was understandable. It's still not fucking understandable to me because in my mind, when I file for a hardship program saying that I cannot pay my mortgage and shit, in my mind it thinks, okay, well, they freeze it. That's what I thought it was. They freeze the mortgage for X amount of time. And then once I be able to get back, it starts back up. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't the case. The company that owns my mortgage is still getting paid. They're basically paying themselves. So in a sense, yes, my mortgage got froze at X amount of dollars, but my mortgage payments were still being paid to the people who were paying my mortgage payments. So when the mortgage, when I got a job and I could afford it and they finally got me off of it, that money that they were paying for me is now a lump sum that I owe. Oh, yeah. And my mortgage starts back up from. So
why wouldn't they just put those payments onto the end of your mortgage? So you just pay for like, you know, 12 more months or whatever.
Yeah, that
instead of making it a lump sum. I mean, I know the answer now that you've gone through debt consolidation is that they want you to refinance your mortgage, especially now that we're at a higher interest rate, so that they can make more money off of you.
Yeah. So, yeah. So
that pisses me off, man.
I hated it the moment it fucking happened because in my mind, I thought that the money that I was going to owe them was, I thought, okay, so they are paying my mortgage. So I'm going to use just random fucking numbers, but let's say that I owed $150,000 on my mortgage. I went into a hardship program where I couldn't pay my mortgage. So for X amount of months, they paid my mortgage. Now, let's say they paid $25,000 of my mortgage for me while I was on that time off. In my mind, I'd owe them $25,000, but my mortgage would be down to $125,000. To me, it breaks even because I owed the mortgage. They paid the mortgage. So while they were continuing to pay the mortgage, I would have to owe them that same amount of money. So like I said, I thought if I owed $150 when I went on the hardship program, I was going to owe $150 when I got off the hardship program because Peter was paying fucking Paul. So now I owe Peter and Paul instead of just owing fucking Paul. No, now I owe Peter, but I still owe Paul everything. I didn't understand it. So my options were paying the lump sum now or paying the lump sum later. And financially, it's more logical to fucking just pay it later. Because even I said, even then, my mind is like, pay it at the end. Because if the interest rates go down and I can figure out a way to, you know, jack up my credit score, I'll just refinance
again.
Yeah. So after the fridge went out, after the dryer went out, after I was sitting there laying in my bed, that, by the way, I haven't had a brand new bed in 12 years.
They're only supposed to last 10, I think.
Beds are like 4 or 5 years at the
most. It's 10 if you rotate and flip them correctly.
Yeah, but they don't even make beds that flip anymore.
They just rotate every 6 months.
So the bed I have is the bed I moved into this house with 8 years ago, and the bed that I have was given to me by our parents after they got a brand new bed. I don't know how long they had the bed before me. This bed is, it's comfortable, but I think it's comfortable in the wrong way. I think it's broken in is the best way to describe it. Yeah. So I'm laying in my bed and I'm realizing I've never had a brand new bed ever in my life. Well, that's a lie. I haven't had a brand new bed since I bought my bamboo bed, which was made from recycled bamboo and 100% recycled metal in 2010. That lasted probably about 4 years. But I was standing there and I'm thinking, like, how the fuck am I going to do all this? And for the longest time, I was thinking of HELOCs, home equity line of credits and shit. Mm-hmm. And then I was just thinking of home equity loans. And I was like, you know what? If I could figure out a way to get a home equity loan and get it for the amount of the credit cards, the amount of the appliances, I'll be set. So I went into a place. It's a local place. They're actually really fun, cool to work with. I'm really happy with them. Except for one thing. And it's not their fault. And I'm not sure if it's illegal or not. But it feels like it is. I went in and found out that I couldn't get a home equity loan with my credit score. Mm. Sucked, but it is what it is. I know my credit score is shit because of the debt. And on top of that, obviously, my truck broke down. I had to get a car. That was a ding on the credit score, and that's added fucking debt and blah, blah, blah. So they went in there asking me about home equity loans. And my biggest problem with home equity loans is I don't want to lose my interest rate because I know it's higher now.
Right.
And the guy sat down and he talked with me, and you know how you kind of like you can kind of talk to a salesman and you kind of tell the difference between if they're bullshitting you or if they're being real with you.
Yep.
This guy seemed very honest and very open. Mom's heard of him. Mom knows people who worked with him and they all have good things to say about him. And he seemed very honest, and he explained everything. It wasn't like he was using big ass words to confuse me just to get my name written down on some fucking piece of paper.
Right.
But he pretty much ran everything down. I was like, listen, if you owe this on your house and you owe this in credit cards, you owe this on that payment, and let's say you're looking to get appliances for this much and stuff like that, we could do a cash out refinance. And basically what it is we are refinancing your house for more than you owe. So when you pay that off, you get the balance. Or you get the remaining of what that was. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, my biggest problem is I pay X amount a month between my mortgage and this debt. Right. And for me to pay the same amount to pay everything off, it just doesn't work. And the way everything looked and the way everything calculated out, I'm saving myself about $400 or $500 a month on this.
Nice.
Yes, the interest rates are higher. Yes, my interest rate will go up, but my interest rates go up by like 2 points. So I'll go from like a 4.25 to a 6.2, I think, which that also sucks. And I've seen it, and obviously, like, my mom thinks it's a good idea. My dad doesn't, because my dad doesn't want me to fuck with my mortgage. I don't want to fuck with my mortgage. But at the end of the day, I look at it like I definitely put myself in this situation, and whether this is the easy way out or the long-term way out, it seems like it's the best way out to wipe away those credit cards. Obviously, the biggest thing is once those credit cards are paid off, never fucking touching them again, because, you know, if I did, I'd just be in a worse situation I'm about to put myself in anyways.
Yeah. Well, you got to touch them enough to not destroy your credit card by paying them off and then throwing them away.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's definitely like I got
a real credit. The whole credit system is such a scam.
Yeah. Well, I know there are a couple credit cards that I've had for a very long time that I never really touched after a while. And I know they just ended up closing them and shit. There are two credit cards right now that as soon as they're paid off, I don't care if I ever fucking hear from them again. Well, that's a lie. One of them closed itself because I haven't used it for so long, just because the fucking debt on it was ridiculous. But there is one credit card I have right now that if I never use it again, I'll be okay with it, because it has such a high credit limit that I had to entice me to use it.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, like it's too tempting.
Yeah. I was going to say seduce, but that sounds dirty. Entice me to use it.
Seduce feels right, though, right? Because it's like it is seductive.
It is, yeah. It is definitely a siren to my Homer, like 100%. Like, you know, especially like, you know, like if there's something I really want, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you can afford it with this credit card and shit. But I got other credit cards that are like a few hundred dollars. It's like, hey, you know what? If I take my smallest credit limit credit card and it's the only one I use and I buy gas with it and pay it off and gas with it and pay it off, you know what? Then maybe that's the best route to go.
Yep.
So after everything is said and done, I'm going to pay off my, I'm going to refinance the house with a cash out loan, cash out refinance. I'm going to buy all new appliances, fridge, stove, microwave, washer, and dryer, because I haven't owned brand new appliances since I moved into this house. I'm buying local. I'm a huge supporter of shopping local. I went to a place right here in Piatone, and there's a great deal on everything. Unfortunately, the sales were then, so I don't know what the price difference would be, but I know the price difference won't change that much. And I'm going to look at a new bed, and ultimately there's possibility there'll be enough money left over where I might be able to actually get a new computer, because this computer is almost about 5 years old and I could kind of feel it kind of lagging. So between that and being sick, that's what my last like 4 weeks have been. Yeah. And it's not over yet. I still got a few more weeks I got to do. I got the appraisal I got to do next week, so I got to deep clean this house and make it look presentable for the guy, so you know he can give me a good value, and it's just been stress. So I think, and the thing is too, and I don't know if my friend Michelle listens to the show or not, but she texted me the other day, and I could kind of tell when she's upset and when she's not, and she was clearly upset that we haven't spoken in a while, and it's not anything she did. It's just the mind space I've been in, the headspace I've been in for so long. It's just like, I really want to focus on this shit. I really want to get this figured out again. And on top of being sick, but it's weird because when I sit there and I text her and she's talking about, like, you know, she hasn't seen for me, she hasn't heard from me and all this other stuff, all I can say is that I'm sorry, because I don't want to give her these reasons to make it sound like it's an excuse.
Right.
Because it really is. I mean, there's really no excuse for me to say, hey, sorry, I haven't reached out to you. You know, I've just been busy sitting here doing nothing. You know, so it's, but me and her are fine now. We talked about everything I'm going through, and, you know, she's sweet. She offered to help me any way she can, and I appreciate that. But I think that stuff did affect me on Saturday. Because like I said, when I was listening to it, it just honestly felt like I phoned it in. And that's not fair to you, Joe. You taking time out of your life to do this show with me and everything. It's not right for me to do that. So I want to apologize to you too. And I just know it would be better. I just know it would be better. Like I said, I wanted to talk about this a lot, and I really wanted to talk about this on JFW. But like I said, this conversation is a This Freaking Show conversation. I did have this conversation off air with, you know, Nubby and Pac-Man and everything, and that's the one thing I love about Freakness Studios is, like, everyone's fucking supportive, especially the Power Hour folk and the Fourth Mother Box people. You know, like, there's a lot of jabs that are being thrown out there. You know, it's all, in, you know, good fun, or in jest, as, you know, intelligent people would say. Jest, mm-hmm. As intelligent people would say. But really, everyone's really supportive. And I think it's really cool. And the growth here is fantastic. But enough about me. There are a couple of things I do want to talk about on this episode that happened over the course of last week. I'm trying to figure out, like, Joe, there's we could talk about these articles now, and we could talk about the upcoming podcast later, or we could talk about the upcoming podcast now and talk about these articles later.
Let's talk about the articles.
Okay. You hope we run out of time so we don't talk about the other podcast? Yeah. Okay. Joe, do you ever, you know anything about baseball? What's going on in baseball currently?
No. Tell me about it.
Okay. So Shohei Ohtani. Have you ever heard of Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So Shohei Ohtani, Japanese ball player, came over here, played for the Angels for X amount of years. A generational talent. Been dubbed a generational talent. This dude, which this is how fucked up baseball is. I don't know if I ever. Have you ever heard me talk about the Shohei Ohtani contract that he got?
No.
Okay. So he is He signed the largest contract of any player ever. 10 years, $700 million.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the goofy thing about it.
I just need five of them.
Dude's 28 years old. Okay?
28. Jeez.
For 10 years. He signed a 10-year contract. I mean, he is contracted to the Dodgers for 10 years. Okay?
Sure.
He's only making $10 million a year for the next 10 years. And once he is done, he'll be making $60 million for 10 years after, which means he's going to make $600 million not playing with the Dodgers. And at 38 years old, his contract is done at 38 years old, which means if he could keep up his hitting, he could go be a DH for the next 3 or 4 years and go play for another team. And he'll still make $60 million a year until he's 58 years old.
That's incredible.
I'm sorry, 48 years old. Yeah. Yeah. That's the contract that he signed with the Dodgers.
Holy crap.
Now, here's the shitty thing. And it has nothing to do with Ohtani. This isn't on Ohtani. This is with Dodgers. The Dodgers come organization and their security guards. Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run. I think it was late the week before last. So this article came out on April 4th.
Okay.
And it's titled, and this is from Bleacher Report, it's titled, Dodgers fan who caught Shohei Ohtani's home run says team pressured her to give up the ball. Okay. The fan who snagged superstar Shohei Ohtani's first ever home run as a Los Angeles Dodger told Sam Blum of The Athletic that the security personnel pressured her to give up the baseball. Dodger fan Ambar Roman picked up the ball by her feet after it landed, and she and her husband, Alexis Venezuela, were escorted by security personnel from the stand soon after the hard tactic started. From the stands soon after the hardball tactics started, per Blum. It's very common when a home run that means something to a hitter is hit that the security guards will go out to the fans and find them. And basically, yeah, they would try to get the ball back. So, like, a ball player who hit their first career home run or their 100th, 200th, 300th, 400th, 500th, right, whatever home run, they would go, and usually they would get something of value for that ball back to them.
Right.
Whether it be baseball tickets, a signed bat, a signed ball, something like that.
Yeah. $5 million of the $700 million. Right. Dollars.
Keep this in mind, too.
So much money.
Shohei Ohtani wears, I think it's number 17. Okay. Yeah, 17. There was already a player on the Dodgers who had number 17. In order for him to get that, he asked Joe Kelly who had the number. He asked Joe Kelly if he could have the number, and he said yes. At that point, just said yes. Ohtani, to say thank you, bought his wife a Porsche. So keep that in mind.
Nice.
Roman of Venezuela said a security staff separated them, pressured them, and left them little choice but to hand over the baseball for a low ball offer. The Dodgers initially dangled two caps signed by Shohei Ohtani in exchange for a ball that an auction house said could pull at least $100,000. Roman said the hardball tactics by team officials included threats of refusing to authenticate the baseball if she decides to take it home. This was no trivial matter. A lack of authentication would render the ball worthless, all but forcing her to accept the trade.
That's ridiculous. Worthless to everyone but her.
Yeah, because she would know. Still, here's the thing. If you never plan on selling it, does it fucking matter? And who knows if she was looking to sell it or not? I mean, I fucking would.
Right.
The home run occurred in the seventh inning of a 5-4 home win over the San Francisco Giants on Wednesday. That homer ended up being the game-winning run en route to LA, moving to 7-2 on the season. The blast obviously brings greater significance, though, as Ohtani being a generational talent and two-time American League MVP. So Roman had a prized possession in her hands. However, the reported behavior of security personnel, namely separating the couples before negotiations, naturally elicits questions regarding the tactfulness or lack thereof, the apparent boorish behavior of those individuals. They really took advantage of her, her husband said. There were a bunch of security guys around her. They wouldn't let me talk to her or give her any advice. There was no way for us to leave. They had her pretty much cornered in the back. Roman added her remarks. They didn't want him to influence my decision. At least that's how it looked. It was a little pressuring, especially because it was like, I need you to give me an answer right now. You make up your mind. It was a lot of pressure. Blum made clear that the couple isn't upset with what they eventually received. Two signed hats, a signed ball, and a bat. Although Venezuela believes a fairer deal could have been achieved. We're not trying to extort anyone. It's not that we're money hungry, Venezuela told Blum. It's just that it's a special moment. It's a special ball, and I just think it's fair for equal reward.
Yeah.
Now, for context, Joe, you know what a foul ball is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For context on how much the ball could have fetched, a foul ball hit by Shohei Ohtani in 2021 was sold for $15,000.
Ridiculous.
In a team memorabilia store. Chris Ivey, director of sports auctions at Heritage Auction, told Blum that the home run value, all the ingredients to hit that number, $100,000, and go well beyond it, absolutely. He then added the items the Dodger gave the fan would be valued at around $5,000 total. Although the couple told Blum, the team did not authenticate or confirm Ohtani signed the items before they left. Hold on. Yep, they did not authenticate. I want to make sure I read that right. Yeah, they didn't authenticate the signatures were real on what they gave them.
That is utterly scumbag behavior.
Yep.
Ultimately, I don't know much about baseball, but I do know that that's not what baseball is about.
Oh, it's shitty. Do me a favor. When you do Geekcast Live tomorrow, ask Ryan if you heard about this.
I'm going to bring it up.
I'm curious on what his thoughts are.
I'm thinking about bringing it up in the group chat right now.
Ultimately, the issue at hand for the couple seems less about what they received in compensation and more about the treatment at the game. Where was the Dodger love that we see every day, every time we go? It just disappeared. We were kind of left stranded. It's not necessarily that we wanted a million, just something nice. Take care of your fans, especially when they got something that is way more valuable. As for the Dodgers, the team officials said that the organization is open to a further conversation with the fan about the transaction. Well, of course you are, because this came to light. That's the thing. I don't know if there's any truth in them of, you know, resolving this issue if they didn't, you know, talk to a very, very popular baseball art website.
Right.
It sucks because, like, I understand how important that ball may be to Ohtani. You know, it's like, hey, this is my first home run on a new team, to be the next generation, what could potentially be World Series champions for 80% of the next, you know, 8 out of 10 of the next fucking World Series. And it sucks that they had to go through that. And I mean, I have no doubt that they were pressured by security guards to hand the ball over. I guess realistically, if it wasn't just them two, I think if there was like maybe a group of them, they could have held their own a little bit more. Because let's be honest, it's not like you can imprison them,
right?
It's not like you throw them in Dodger jail because they're not giving up the ball, and we can rip it from their hands and shit. I mean, the fact that if somebody, and again, like, if it really happened this way, it's unfortunate. But who's gonna sit there and threaten to say like, hey, you know, if you don't give us the ball, we're not going to authenticate it. Then fine. Then you'll never have that fucking ball. And it's good. If you didn't authenticate it, all she has is a fucking baseball and a story to tell without any proof that it's truly it. Is that right? Unless you can find the video online of her getting the ball. Yeah. But at the same time, now you have to go to Shohei Ohtani. It's like, hey, I couldn't get the ball, so now it's gone forever. But, you know, or you lie to him, say, hey, here's your ball. And just grab any old fucking ball. It's stupid. It's one of the reasons why I hate the fucking Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's the same reason I hate the Yankees. They throw money at their fucking championships with, hey, if you have it, awesome. But it's just like you're just buying the best players.
Throw some our way. We'll pivot to baseball.
Oh, God. Yeah, right. Okay. You throw me 15% of what Ohtani's being paid, and I will make a baseball-only fucking podcast. And I will do it every day. I'll talk about baseball every fucking day.
I'll learn all baseball. The teams, the there people on them.
Right. It sucks. I haven't, again, this article is from April 4th. Obviously, we're looking at, you know, 5 days later. So I'm not sure what has happened since then.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Ohtani knows what's going on because he's going through his own shit where he finds out his interpreter he's been working with for years has been skimming money from him. And,
yes, I have heard of, and okay. I thought that's what you were going to be talking about.
I didn't want to talk about it. I guess in a weird sense, I thought this was more important.
Yeah. I think it is too.
Yeah.
Because it's about the fans, right? Yeah. I think the fans are way more important than whether or not, like, I mean, you know, to some extent it is important. Mm-hmm. You're paying this guy $700 million. Is he part of this scheme to throw baseball games or whatever with his translator? Or is the translator working on his own to try and, like, take advantage of this once in a generation baseball talent to make money off of him?
Well, and I think I think one of the biggest problems too that's coming up about this is not even so much like, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of big questions on, like, is it just the interpreter or is the interpreter through Ohtani?
Right.
You know, because it's not like the interpreter is going to go to jail. You know, if it comes out to, you know, if they prove that all he did is bet on games and shit, then he loses. Well, I guess the biggest reason he got fired and this whole shit goes on is because he was skimming money from Ohtani. That's the allegation.
Right. Yeah.
But now there's expectations on, did Ohtani really give him the money to go make these bets to make more fucking money? Right. Now, if that's the case, there's a guy that I don't know if people remember who also got banned from baseball, cannot be part of the Hall of Fame because he bet on games, and his name is Pete Rose. And the problem with Pete Rose...
I thought you were going to shoeless Joe Jackson, but go on.
Oh, we can talk about that in a minute, too. Pete Rose bet on his team to win, and he got banned from baseball. That's the problem that people have with Pete Rose. It's not like he was betting against his team and throwing baseball. Like the Chicago Black Sox of, I think it was 1909?
Sounds right.
It's either 1909 or 1918. It's back then. I should know. I'm a huge Sox fan, and I don't know why those two are.
1919.
That's what it is. Yeah. They won in 1918, and they could have repeated in 1919, which ironically, they were playing the Cincinnati Reds, that they threw the game against, and Cincinnati Reds was the team that Pete Rose played on.
No way.
Where he got banned, but this was obviously, you know, like 50 years later. But Pete Rose got banned from baseball because he was betting on baseball, but the thing is, he was betting on his team to win. So I don't see how you could ban a guy from baseball for gambling if he's betting on his team to win and his team was fucking winning.
Right.
Like, that's the goofy thing. Well, I understand,
like, there's a blanket ban on whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm betting on us to win. If we win, I make money. But, like, I'm not going to throw the game. I'm going to play harder, if anything.
Exactly, yeah. And that was just
as long as you can't prove, too, like, you're not going to, like, what's her name? Like, Peekaboo Smith or whatever from the Olympics. Like, you're not going to go around and, like, chop out the legs of the other team.
Who are you talking about? Peekaboo Smith?
I don't know if it was Smith. I just made up the last name, but
there's a skier called Peekaboo.
Yeah. Oh, she was a skier, not a skater. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Lorraine Bobbitt. I thought you were talking about Lorraine Bobbitt.
No.
Okay. What are you talking about? Yeah, her too. Yeah, right. People are fucking lunatics, man.
Yeah, so, right. I know. Peekaboo Street was a World Cup alpine ski racer and Olympic gold medalist. Mm-hmm. She was winning the 1998 Winter Olympics, and I believe, see if I can find it. Anyway, I believe she hired someone to club one of her main opponents in the legs.
Yeah, it sounds like Lauren Bobbitt.
Yeah, it might have been Lauren Bobbitt. It might have been the person that she did it to.
Well, this was figure skating. Lorraine Bobbitt was figure skating, and that was God, who the hell did Lorraine Bobbitt fucking Lorraine Bobbitt. I definitely spelled all those words wrong. It's just two.
Oh no! You know what? Somehow I don't know if it's because of pop culture or what. Somehow I've confused things. Peekaboo Street crashed on her own and tore her ACL, and that's why she was out of the sport. I thought that someone hit her, or that she hired someone to hit someone else.
Oh, you know what? I'm not even thinking of Lorraine Bobbitt at all. Lorraine Bobbitt is the girl that chopped off that dude's penis. I am way fucking off.
Wow, we are batting like zero.
Next week I will apologize for this. It's fine. Who was the skater hit with pipe? Who's that?
Yeah.
Nancy Kerrigan, an American figure skater, was struck on the lower right thigh with a telescopic baton by assailant Shane Stant. As she walked down the corridor of the Cobo Arena in Detroit, Michigan, Kerrigan was passing ice skating. Who's the person that?
Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding. There we go. Okay, yeah. So Tanya Harding hit Nancy Kerrigan, or hired someone to hit Nancy Kerrigan with a pipe. Cool. Lorraine Bobbitt, nothing to do with ice skating, but you know what? I listened to the podcast on why she chopped that dude's dick off, and he fucking deserved it.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I don't even know.
Oh, he was abusive, sexually assaulting her and all this shit, and she felt that she couldn't get away from him. So yeah. He came home drunk, raped her, passed the fuck out. She grabbed a knife, chopped his dick off, drove off, threw it out to the fucking window.
Yeesh.
Yeah. You know what? I don't fault her one bit. I won't take her on a date, but don't fault her one fucking bit.
Right.
1919 Black Sox threw the game because Kaminsky would not pay them more money for winning. In fact, I think one of his star pitchers, if he played one more game or had like a couple more strikeouts and he achieved this level, he was supposed to get a bonus, and they sat him the rest of the season. Greedy fucking dude. So the mob, you know, offered the 8 of the 9 men on the field money to throw the game. And the problem was, one of those guys were Shoeless Joe Jackson, except Shoeless Joe Jackson actually tried and played. He didn't bobble, fuck anything up. He actually went out and played, but because he was willing to take the money, he was included in that too.
Gotcha.
So yeah, Dodgers do better. Hopefully they get more than just the signed shit, or at least authenticate what you fucking gave her. You know, or maybe a year of season tickets. Why the fuck not? You know,
right?
Okay, one more article, and then we're going to talk about the podcast, and then we'll wrap up the show. Chicago River Open Water Swim returns in September after nearly a century. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. ABC 7 News. on a rainy, cold day like today, open water swimming is probably the furthest thing from your mind, and the suggestion of jumping into the Chicago River of all places is even further away. But on September
26th, I'd rather jump in the Chicago River than the Wabash, but it's not close.
On September 22nd, the city will, for the first time in nearly 100 years, play host to those willing to get wet for a mile or two swim along the river walk. The starting line will be between Clark and Dearborn Street. Swimmers will go east to Wabash and then circle back to Wolf Point, said Doug McConnell, founder of the Long Swim. While Chicago is no stranger to host large-scale open water swim events, including Big Shoulder and the Chicago Triathlon, organizers admit overcoming people's perception about the cleanliness of the Chicago River is their biggest challenge. I don't think it's a perception. I think it's a fact. That river is shitty.
Yeah, it's been getting progressively better for the last couple of decades, but I still wouldn't get in it.
It's like when people talk about the Hudson River, like yeah. When people talk about that, Friends of the Chicago River is supporting the event for exactly the reason to help get the word out that the river is actually approved for swimming 13 years ago. So look at that, over a decade. Good job. Many people are aware of the tunnel and reservoir plans, which is colloquially. What does that mean?
Commonly.
Why don't they just say it? Dicks. Mm-hmm. They knew one day some idiot's going to read this article on a podcast and look foolish.
Maybe.
Commonly called deep tunnel. And that has reduced the chance of having any sewage in the river, which is people's main concern, by 85% from what is the historical river that people used to worry about. And so today, on the average day, it really is cleaner than it used to be and is clean enough for swimming in most places. They hope the swim will not only be a celebration of the riverfront's renaissance, but also serve as a fundraiser for ALS research, a cause near and dear to McConnell's heart and at the heart of all the events he organizes. It was actually after my sister was diagnosed that she had the idea of open water swimming, because it was such a perfect contrast to the challenges that ALS patients go through. The inaugural Chicago River Swim will take place on September 22nd. Registration is already open, and it will cap at 500 qualified swimmers who must show documented proof of previous open water swims in order to be approved.
Amazing.
Joe, are you going to go swim in the river?
Oh.
Yeah.
Nope.
You're worried that when those 500 swimmers go in and shit, people are going to watch in amazement and wonder why there's 503 bodies in the water?
That's one of my concerns. I'm also, I'm not a strong enough swimmer to do that.
No, I don't.
And then on top of that, like, once again, I realize that the Chicago River is cleaner than the Wabash River, but I had a teacher in middle school who was on the rowing team at Purdue. Yeah. And he knew a guy on the rowing team who got one drop of the Wabash in his eye. Instant eye infection.
Yeah.
And until I can see the bottom of the river because it's that clean.
Here's my theory, Joe. Let's say there's a toilet.
Yeah.
Somebody just dropped a duke in. Wiped, flushed. And then somebody went in and they cleaned that fucking toilet. They fucking bleached it. They wiped it down. It is spotless. Damn near looks brand new. Would you drink a cup of water out of that toilet?
No, because it's a toilet.
Because it's a fucking toilet. And that's how I feel about the Chicago River. Like, you could tell me how clean it is. It could be crystal clear seeing to the bottom. There's still something in that fucking water. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm
totally
good.
Fair.
Now, the one thing I do want to see, and I want to try to, I'm sure it's a very logical answer, is the Chicago River is what they dye green, right?
Yeah.
How long does it take to not be dyed green anymore? I'm sure it's still green, but how long does it take to, is it, it just kind of, it flows away?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. I've never seen it, so. I've seen videos of it being dyed green, but I've never seen it de-dying.
Oh.
Or undying.
It's even faster than I thought. In the original stunt, the river stayed green for a week, but the dye used today only lasts about 4 hours.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Cool. Good for them.
Yeah.
Cool. Now throw some chlorine in that motherfucker. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think there's one thing that's ever going to say, hey, go jump in this water. It's fine. It ain't fine. It's not really fine at all. I'm hesitant.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be that much worse than swimming in Lake Michigan, but. It's not going to be that much better either.
I don't go in Lake Michigan.
Oh, that's fair.
I've been in Lake Michigan once in my entire life, and that was a polar plunge I did in 2018. I'm not a beach guy. Mostly sand. Sand really ruins it.
That's fair.
And also, last time I was on a beach, it was my first time being in the ocean, and I went out there and I had fun, and I was splashing around like a 31-year-old kid, and then I realized myself, there's fucking sharks out here somewhere. I know there's no sharks in Lake Michigan, but I think somebody seen a shark in fucking Lake Michigan once. Mm-hmm. I think there are freshwater sharks somewhere.
I don't know about that. I know some sharks can do both.
There's gotta be sharks. There just has to be fucking something like Michigan, Loch Ness or some shit.
There is a rumor. The claim is that it's a myth, but that's no fun. So I refuse to, I choose to believe that there's at least some.
They have been reportedly seen bull sharks in Lake Michigan. Although some instances like this dead bull shark found on the lake shore are a bit uncertain. No shark reports have ever been significantly documented. Like, still, it has to fucking exist. There has to be something in there that could fucking eat you. Like, something could fucking drag you down. There has to be. No, I don't.
Never where I've been.
I don't know. I just, all I know,
I don't go that far in. I'm perfectly happy where my feet can touch.
I'm fine. Like, if I ever go to a fucking Lake Michigan, which I don't think I've ever go to. I don't think I'd ever go to a Chicago. What is it, Chicago Beach? That's what it's called.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever go to Chicago Beach. I would definitely go to like Indiana Beach.
Yeah, I like the dunes.
Dunes, stuff like that. Yeah, I'd be okay going there because I think in my mind that's a little bit more open, a little more wide. I mean, I guess people would like. I mean, I guess like the beach along Lakeshore Drive is open. Is that open or is there like just a section of beach that's considered Michigan, like or Chicago Beach?
I think it's open.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on where you're at, but yeah, I think there's like Loyola Beach, and I forget where the Lakeshore Drive one is, but
yeah, I just think subconsciously, like deep down, when I really think about it, is I've seen what these barges do to these waters. That I think it really sours me on these fucking lakes and stuff. But
totally fair.
But hey, to those of you who want to do an open swim on the Chicago River on September 22nd, have fun.
Yeah, raise that money for ALS.
Yeah, you know, if I remember, maybe we'll recap it in September, and we'll see how it really went. So. Joe, new podcast, bro.
Yeah.
I sent you some titles. What have you thought? Did you read them?
Yeah, I read them. I didn't love them.
Why?
They just didn't resonate with me.
The Book with Joe?
I don't hate that one as much.
Seventh Day Podcast?
I don't like the Seventh Day Podcast. I don't know why.
It's the day of rest.
Yeah, it feels like Seventh Day Adventist or something to me. I don't know why. I don't mind The Book with Joe.
Right. I mean, it's similar. And I also thought, because we've been really trying to figure out exactly what we wanted to do with the podcast. And like, I think the idea we kind of fell on was like talking about the untold stories of the Bible. I also thought, because I actually got the Bible through Audible using our discount code audibletrial.com/freaknet. So I got it for 30 days.
Nice.
And what it is like, so I got this guy reading it, which I really wish it was Morgan Freeman reading it. It'd probably be epic. But I got some guy reading me the Bible as I'm driving to work and stuff like that, or I'm driving wherever I'm driving. And obviously they go by, you know, they started with Genesis. If you guys didn't know, the Bible started with Genesis. And they go chapter by chapter. And I started thinking to myself, like, you know, what we really could do is we could take the book chapter by chapter, talk about that one chapter in the show, and that'd be the end of the show, and we could do like a 30-minute show. Yeah, you know? I mean, how many chapters are in these books? You know,
a lot. Depends. Genesis is 50.
See, that's an entire season right there. 50 chapters. I mean, what's the one that has the most in it?
Psalms 151.
151. Okay, that's three seasons. Maybe we'll stick to the untold stories. But it is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Just don't know when. It is coming. Yeah. It is coming.
Yeah. Easter was it was a lot more than I expected. And a
lot of things were happening. Yeah.
Whew, been recovering.
But it will happen. Joe, what are you freaking drinking?
Oh, I'm having myself a... So you may have thought, especially if you're watching on the YouTubes, that I had a gigantic glass of wine. It is a pretty big glass, but it's actually it's part water, part... I think it's Winking Owl Cabernet Sauvignon. So just whatever the Aldi cheap brand is. I figured I'd do a mix half and half. That way I wasn't getting like trashed on the podcast.
Classy though.
You know, plus, classy. You know, it cuts the calories in half, and I'm, you know, it still tastes pretty good. So
nice.
What about you? What are you freaking drinking?
I'm drinking a blueberry lemon hint.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I did this where the podcast could hear and see it, but I also, I'm drinking out of this glass that has, I don't know if you can see it, but it's an actual tuned glass.
Si, fa, ja. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. Yeah.
So you can do actually it?
Here we go. Also, lick your finger one more time for the viewers. There we go. Yeah. That's right, Daddy.
So just a fun thing.
That's really cool. Where'd you get that?
I think it was either a wedding present or Maddie got it as a going away present from her science teacher job.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, on top of freaking drinking, what are you freaking thinking about?
Oh my gosh. I am really glad you asked, but I suddenly don't remember. I think it is Dune. We over at the Geekcast Live podcast, I feel like we've been talking about Dune not quite nonstop, but a lot lately. And as a result, I've started watching just whatever's available. So I recently started watching the David Lynch Dune on Max or whatever, HBO. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. It's very dated. It's very, very to its time period, but I'm enjoying it. It's fun. It's not as good as I think Jodorowsky's Dune would have been.
Yeah.
Which is like a legendary, never made movie. And then it's definitely not as good as the Denis Villeneuve movies that have come out in the last couple of years. But it's fine. You know, Patrick Stewart. What could you complain about? So what about you? What are you freaking thinking about?
Who's Patrick Stewart? Why does that name sound familiar?
Star Trek is the big thing, but also X-Men.
Professor X, yeah. Oh, yeah, my favorite Christmas carol. Yeah. Sir Patrick Stewart. You got to do Sir
Yes! Patrick. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's where it threw me off.
That would do it.
Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart.
normally I would say something like, well, I don't recognize the British monarchy, so who gives a damn? But it's Sir Patrick Stewart. I do care about him, and
right. A lot of what I've been thinking about is what I talked about to open up the show was like obviously a lot of this whole refinancing and the appraisal that's going to happen next Thursday, and Mom and Ashley are going to come over and help me like really clean this house this weekend. But outside of that, this past weekend was WrestleMania, which is one of the reasons why the show got delayed, is because this weekend was WrestleMania weekend. And my whole focus was WrestleMania, and I took complete space on the fact that we're going to record on Saturday. But wrestling is becoming more and more of the stuff I love lately. And this weekend was Friday, Saturday, Sunday was every day was fun. Every day was exciting. Every story that was told was incredible. It was awesome to talk about last Saturday on JFW. It was awesome to recap it this past Monday on JFW. It was awesome to watch it all weekend. And I'm still living on the excitement of it, even now here on Tuesday as we record. So,
nice.
Wait, it's Monday. No, it's Tuesday. It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's – I think the one thing that made it the best thing in my life right now is like – or what I'm freaking thinking about and why I'm still thinking about it – is because it's a good way to rise up from such the weird lulls I've had over the last few weeks. On top of that, like it did make me kind of realize too, like I felt crappy about it, but a friend of Ashley's goes to the church that I talk about a lot here in Piatone, and it made me realize that I really need to start going again. So I've been thinking about that a lot. I had to stop over at my friend Dana's house over the Friday before I went home. And she was talking about how she wants to take her her stepkid to church because her stepkid's talking about church. And she wants to take it to the church we went to, which is the church here in town. And I told her, like, if you go, let me know. I'll meet you there and everything. And it's just I think if I've gone over the last few weeks where I felt low, I think that would have helped. Mm-hmm. And I know it's weird because I do have friends who I get to them. It's kind of a joke, the whole like belief and faith and everything. And then I you know, I don't fault them for their opinions. Oh, I fucking hate you dogs. the neighbor dogs.
Yeah, I don't heard them.
I have my window cracked because it's actually nice and breezy outside, and this room got a little bit stuffy today. I don't fault them for having their beliefs and what they feel is real and what isn't. I know, like, when I have conversations with people, I always, like, you know, go back to the belief that, you know, God puts challenges in our lives. You know, we don't do anything alone. He's always there with us and stuff like that. And my buddy doesn't believe that. And that's fine. You know, we have mutual respect of our own beliefs, and I don't fault him for it one bit. I wish he did, because I do honestly believe that if he did, then maybe his outlook on life would be a little bit more positive. Mm-hmm. But all I could do is be there for him, like I know God is for me. And I think a lot of us could kind of look that way too, is, you know, don't judge people on their lack of belief in God. You know, show them that, you know, what God could do for you is what you could do for your friends and shit. There's a huge fan of Southland Championship Wrestling, the company that I commentate for. There's a huge fan of that, who's currently battling some illnesses in the hospital right now. And I mentioned thoughts and prayers on JFW. I want to mention thoughts and prayers here on this show as well. He's also a huge fan of me and the content I put out. And hopefully he sees either this, or he sees JFW, hears it or whatever, and knows that that we're all, you know, rooting for him. And hopefully it sounds like he's getting a little bit better, but he's not out of the woods yet. I pray to God he does pull through, because he is an inspirational guy. He's a Special Olympic medalist. He's a funny dude. He's a passionate wrestling fan. And I mention him because when I look at the post, the comments on the post about him, I see a lot of guys in the business that wouldn't expect to, you know, say thoughts and prayers. And maybe they're just throwing the generic out there saying, well, this is what everyone says. I don't think that's the case, though. You know, for like maybe like 75-80% of them. I don't know why 80% is my go-to right now. Mm-hmm. But it's a powerful feeling when you can sit there and watch other people, you know, send thoughts and prayers to somebody else. So to my friend who doesn't have a belief in God, I don't fault you for it. I don't think, you know, I'm not going to judge you for it, but I still pray for you every day. And I hope that, you know, you continue to just be the person you are and just continue to be better, be a good dad, be a good friend, be a good person. And I will continue to believe that there's a higher power helping you do that, even though you don't. So, I've been thinking about a lot of stuff over the last few weeks. God and money are two things that shouldn't be thought about together, but that's what's been on my mind the last 2 weeks on two different reasons, but still equally on my mind. So,
I don't want to hard pivot to something else that I've been thinking about this week.
No, go for it, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause I don't want to undercut what you said, cause I do think it's, you know, it's important, and, you know, definitely prayers out to your friend. You'll have to give me his name later so I can put him on my list. But I can't believe it didn't come up. The eclipse.
Dude, yeah.
I was definitely thinking about the eclipse. It's something I've been excited about in the time leading up to it. And, yeah. You know, we weren't in the path of totality, but we got like 93% of the sun covered. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was supposed to be cloudy.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to travel to Indy to see it or whatever. And I'm not going to go to Southern Illinois to see it. Yeah. I'm just going to miss it. You know, it's fine. I'll catch the next one. Well, then it was a beautiful day yesterday.
I don't think there was a cloud in the sky yesterday.
Not a single cloud. No. Not a single cloud in the sky. And so I called up Science and Surplus, which is a local store by me that sells like science supplies and stuff. Yeah. They said they had eclipse glasses in stock. So I drove over there. When I got there, I saw that they had their parking lot closed and a big sign out front that said no glasses. And I'm like, if I had known that, I wouldn't have driven over here. I literally just got off the phone and got in the car.
Yeah.
Well, I was texting with Maddie, and she was at work, and they had four extra pairs of glasses. So they gave me one. And so I got to, I as I was leaving from picking them up, the eclipse was starting. And so, like, you know, when I stopped at the light near her office, I leaned out the window and looked and got to see just the very smallest amount starting to cover the sun. Got home, set myself up outside, and I made like a pinhole camera with my with like a aluminum foil and a paper towel tube so I could take pictures of the shadow of the eclipse or whatever. Because you're not supposed to put your phone on it, up to it. You know, you could destroy the camera sensor. Just like you can destroy your eyes, but looking at it without help, without a filter.
I looked
anyway, at it. I had a great time sitting watching it.
I looked at it.
Yeah.
It was by accident. But yeah, I totally 100% looked at it without
it. I did it a couple times on purpose. I
couldn't resist. I just want to see.
I was just like, you know.
So I was at work when it happened, and you know, like everyone I was working with was really going outside. They had, I don't know if they ordered the glasses or whatever, but like, yeah, they're out there looking at it and admiring it and all that shit. And it's not that I didn't care about it. I was just so focused on getting my work done that, you know, it was the first thing from my mind.
For sure.
I also know I didn't have glasses to do it.
Yeah.
One of the girls that I work with, she wanted to, like, you know, get a picture of it and all that shit. And she was telling me the same things, like, we can't aim the camera or the camera. I'm like, just get your camera ready, look up, snap the photo, look away. Like, just, you know, don't. She's like, no, because it's gonna break. I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. She's like, well, if I break it, then you gotta buy me a new one. I'm like, deal. But she never did it because I knew she wouldn't.
Right.
But I was expecting it to be like almost like total darkness, and it really wasn't.
Yeah, that only really happens in the actual like path of totality.
Gotcha. My cousin Shelby, she went down with my uncle Greg down south in southern Indiana, or Illinois, southern Illinois.
Nice.
So I'm not sure what they saw. I know I see pictures of everyone else everywhere showing different like brightnesses and, you know, all this stuff. So it seemed cool. It's a really awesome moment to kick off a year that we're expected to get two different species of cicadas that are going to Egypt our fucking nation.
Seriously.
And I'm not looking forward to that whatsoever. I don't know if it's going to be as bad as they're saying, but it wouldn't surprise me if it gets as bad as they're saying.
Yeah. I hope that it does not end up being as bad as they're saying. I just hope it's not worse than what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, well, if it's at least as bad, or, you know, I mean, at most as bad, fine. I'm not going to be happy about it, but I'll live with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be alive the next time it happens. So
2024 is definitely, when's the next eclipse? It's 20 years.
The next time it's in the US, it'll be 20 years. Yeah. 2044.
Okay. Gotcha. So 2024 roller coasters. We're on a high now of, you know, eclipse spotting and everything. Then soon cicadas will come. Then the Olympics will be here. And then the fucking election's going to happen.
Yeah.
So a real fucking roller coaster this fucking year. You know, it's. But I think as long as we stay positive, I think we'll overcome whatever.
For sure. But it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. It was cool to like feel the temperature drop, and it was like wearing sunglasses inside. But
when is the cicada supposed to come?
I want to say July.
How long are they supposed to hang around for?
For some reason, I only think it's like a week.
I hope so, because if we're out there vlogging fucking Michigan with cicadas, I'm going to lose my shit.
Oh, same.
I mean, I could edit decently, but I can't edit out cicadas fucking sounds, I'll tell you that much. It's only like 14 days or some shit, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, yeah. They like, they come up, they bang, they die.
Yeah, good. I'm just not looking forward to that shit.
Let's see. Gosh, I'm just not finding it fast. Hold on 1 second. Let me ask Maddie.
She
says in like a month, so maybe May. And then they're only around for like a couple weeks, right? Yeah, just like, so yeah, a couple weeks in May or June.
Shortly after its 17 years, cicada nymph hatches from its egg. It burrows into the ground where it spends, as its name suggests, the first 17 years of its life. When it emerges from the ground, it lives only 4 to 6 weeks, just long enough to mate, fertilize, lay eggs, and start the cycle all over again.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, I pray to fun God doesn't happen in September, because we will be in Michigan filming cemeteries in September. I'm excited for Freaky Show. I'm excited for October, as I am every year. But I'm also excited to see what this year still brings us. Like I said, right, I had a low, but now I'm ready to be high, you know, in a euphoric way, not a, not a drug way. And I'm looking forward to being 35 here in about 6 weeks. So
nice.
Joe, oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Every week our listeners can catch Cartoon Joe here on this freaking show. But of an hour of Cartoon Joe just isn't enough for our listeners. Where can they go?
If you need more Cartoon Joe, you can find me over at the Geekcast Live podcast at violentpress.com. You can also find us on Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, and Twitter by searching Geekcast Live.
Excellent. Guys, make sure you follow us over on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, just by searching This Freaking Show. And, of course, you can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just search us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, now YouTube Music, because Google Pod is no longer a thing. As well as Podbean. Just search This Freaking Show. Wherever you listen to us, just give us a like, give us a rating, give us a review, whatever they ask for. Just help us out. Subscribe to us. Go to Freaknest Studios on YouTube. Subscribe there, and you could watch our podcast because we are releasing the video of our podcast there as well. So, and also, Joe, I really want to try some fucking chicken sandwiches. So let's see if we can plan like a chicken sandwich taste test here in the future.
That sounds good.
I got it. We did fish. We did burgers. Now we got to give chicken a chance.
Ooh, we do got to give chicken a chance.
We do got to get all I am saying is give chicken a chance. Guys, that's all I got. As always, I am Travis T.
And I'm Cartoon Joe.
And thank you for listening to another episode of This Freaking Show. I'm out.